Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our society article. It is August 6th, and we have two panelists here to help discuss this topic. First, welcome Simon.
Hey, Brandon. This is an interesting topic. I was originally a teacher, and so it's a topic that is, I guess, close to my heart and have a lot of interest, not only to parents and students, but also to teachers and people in broader society.
All right. We also have Pauline here with us today. Welcome, Pauline.
Thanks. I'm really happy to be here. I think this is a really important topic to be talking about.
It is important. It's a sensitive topic, and it's a hot topic as well. We've been hearing a lot about bullying the past few years, haven't we, Pauline?
Yeah, it does seem like it's really increased in the general public's awareness over the last few years. There's a lot more conversations about it, a lot more of a dialogue going on about what should be done to prevent it in schools, what school policies should be, and some pretty sad stories about maybe the impacts of bullying on specific children. So, yeah, it's definitely something that's really growing in awareness.
Sure, and hopefully the spotlight on bullying will help prevent it, at least to some degree. And it's hard to know what changes have occurred, but hopefully there are changes being made. When we think about bullying versus teasing, that is the title of this article. Let's take a look first at that word teasing. What does it mean really to tease someone? We'll talk about it more, but what's just a general definition of that, Simon?
Well, I think they actually give us definitions in this article, but right off the top of my head, I would say teasing is when you're sort of making fun of someone or laughing at someone. I would say usually it's not physical, but often it's maybe like a group of people who are making fun of another person.
All right. Well,
I don't necessarily think it's a group, because I usually think about, like, I'll tease my friends, you know, some of the other phrases that we use is to give a hard time. If you give someone a hard time, you're kind of teasing them, pointing out something you think is maybe silly about the way they act. Or, you know, I might tease my husband. So we do use this word in a pretty light way as well, just in like kind of a joking, but definitely the joke is about that other person is kind of pointing out maybe something about them that you think is silly or funny or strange or awkward.
And that's a good point. We can use it in a light way. Maybe you have a good friend and you're teasing them and they don't take it so seriously, but it can also be used in a more serious way.
Well, it's interesting that you said light, because when we say light teasing, we mean like it's in fun and both people kind of know it's funny, right? Mm-hmm. So teasing, I would say, runs a range of different things. Some of it is light, other stuff is not
heavy.
Heavy. we wouldn't usually say heavy teasing, but more serious teasing that maybe sometimes goes a little too far.
But when it comes to bullying, we don't think of that in a light way at all. It's very serious.
No, once you use the word bullying, we all agree that this is a serious thing. It's a pretty strong judgment of the behavior. And there's certainly reasons to use that term, but as we'll talk throughout this lesson, it is really important to make a clear line between teasing and bullying, because once you call something bullying, you're saying it's something very serious that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, I have never thought of this, actually, to differentiate between teasing versus bullying. We talk a lot about bullying, but why do you think, Simon, it's so important to make this distinction? Maybe some people would kind of group it all together. Why the distinction?
Well, the definition we were sort of taught to use in teachers' college as a rule of thumb for bullying, or just sort of a general principle, was that bullying is supposed to be repeated and intentional, sort of causing of harm. So if you think of teasing as being something that can be light teasing, you're not trying to hurt the other person's feelings. You're just kind of having fun, right? And sometimes you accidentally hurt their feelings, but if you're intentionally trying to hurt the person's feelings or actually physically hurt them over and over again, then that becomes bullying.
Right.
That's a pretty major distinction. Also, I think the reason it's important to know the difference and talk about the difference between teasing and bullying is we don't really have a label for somebody who teases. We don't call somebody a teaser, but we do call people bullies, right?
Yeah.
And once you call somebody a bully, that's a pretty strong label, right? You're giving somebody a pretty strong label. And so I think in all sorts of different areas, we realize that we need to be really careful before we slap a label on somebody, especially a highly negative one. So the difference between some kid thinking he's lightly teasing someone and then realizes that he's hurt someone's feelings and hasn't quite figured that line out is quite different than somebody who is intentionally trying to harm others. And if you give that label to the wrong kid and define that wrong for someone, that can really have a negative impact.
And that's important. You mentioned labeling, which we will talk about more later today, but that is an important concept to discuss, and we do need to be careful before we just throw a label on someone. And so that's something we'll talk more about later. If you have your magazine, please open it up to page 14, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Teasing versus bullying. Why it's important to identify the key differences between teasing and bullying. Is my child being bullied? Is my child a bully? What can I do to help? What can my child do to help? How can I help my child? Who can help my child? The questions are universal. Whether a child is experiencing bullying behavior or is the bully. Bullying has received a lot of attention in the news. In the wake of suicides, where bullying is blamed as the cause, parents say they worry if their child may be next. Many parents wonder how they can help their child. The answers to these questions are, in most cases, complex, says Jennifer Wickham, licensed professional counselor at Mayo Clinic Health System. Social, biological, and environmental factors need to be considered to find the best solutions. It's important to not over or under-recognize bullying behavior. To avoid either of these extremes of labeling, we must understand the difference between teasing and bullying.
All right, so we start off with a lot of questions that can be asked. Maybe a parent asks, is my child being bullied? Or is my child a bully? And so you have to look at both ends. You know, is your child a victim of bullying? Or is your child actually a bully? I don't think a lot of parents maybe think about these things.
I was really happy that right off the bat, right to begin with, they brought up the two sides of this, right? Like both things can happen, and that's a difficult thing for a parent either way to find out that their child is being bullied or that their child is bullying others. Either way, it puts a parent in a really difficult place and it brings up some other hard questions.
It does put them in a difficult place. That's why it's important to prepare yourself, right, with reading articles like this and doing some research. And so the next question is, Simon, what can I do to help? And then the next one, what can my child do to help? And how can I help my child? Who can help my child? So these are all questions that we can ask. And maybe some of you listening are asking some of these same questions.
Yeah, and all of those questions can apply either to the child who's being bullied or to the child who is bullying. How do you help that child? How can that child help themselves? Who else can help them? Either way.
All right, and this article is from the United States. It's from the Mayo Clinic, which is a renowned hospital, and this is a foundation there that they have as well. But it says the questions here, Simon, are universal. So even though this is from the U.S., we can apply these questions basically anywhere we go in the world, right?
That's right, because bullying is a problem you see all over the place. It's kind of interesting that they ask questions about both the victim and the bully, because I suppose in a lot of ways, as I've become an adult anyway, I've tended to see bullies also as victims. Mm-hmm. It's sort of an odd thing to sort of say. But in a lot of ways, kids who tend to be bullies are bullies because they have really poor social skills. Mm-hmm. And so, like, normal kids don't, like, they'll tease people, and then if they sort of see the other person is not happy, they sort of back down and apologize and all back off, even when there's like a group of people kind of like poking fun at one kid. And so if a kid is a bully and they push beyond that, they are sort of setting themselves up for a lot of problems in life because they're basically ignoring other people's social cues. And you can't really exist in life without other people and working out a way to live with and work with other people, right?
Yeah, I really appreciate that you said that. That was my favorite thing about this article is that they keep bringing back both sides because I feel similarly. I worked at a school for troubled youth, and many of those kids had been bullied, were victims of bullying. Some of those same kids were also bullies. You know, there's just a lot of difficult things going on. Some of those kids had pretty rough family backgrounds or had various things that's happened in their lives that gave you a lot of extra compassion to understand how that was coming out in ways that, you know, we all understand is unacceptable. It's easy to get angry about it when it's the bullying side, but there's still a lot of pain or, like Simon was saying, just social lack of awareness, lack of skills to know how to deal with life and social situations and emotions.
And you brought up something interesting. You said that many of those kids, they were bullied and then they in turn became bullies. And I think that often is the case, not just with bullying, but in other things that you're a victim of. Oftentimes you will do the same thing to other people, even though that you were hurt by that, right?
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, you can talk about that a lot and get deeper into that psychological thing there, but that is common.
Also, I just wanted to point out, I think we'll kind of find ourselves naturally finding more and more words for the ways we describe teasing. Simon used another one there. He said to poke fun at. So he said we use the phrase to poke fun at, to give a hard time, and to tease. Those are the three that we've come across so far, but I'll try and point those out as we go because we do have a lot of phrases for this concept.
You can also say we make fun of someone, right? And there's all sorts of ways to describe that. Good point. Well, the questions are universal, whether a child is experiencing bullying behavior or is the bully. And then it says bullying has received a lot of attention in the news, which we've already talked about. We have a phrase here that's good to know. It says in the wake of suicides. Simon, when we say in the wake of something, what do we mean?
We basically mean afterwards or in the period following something happening. And so basically what we're saying here is after suicides have happened, bullying is blamed as the cause. And so because there have been suicides in the news that have been caused by bullying, we see all these effects in the wake of that.
And so here we see how serious bullying can be, that some people actually, because of they've been bullied, they commit suicide. And parents are wondering, is this going to happen to my child?
Right. It raises the level of urgency and seriousness when you suddenly realize how lethal it can be. So parents, rightly so, become a lot more worried about it.
So parents are thinking, how can I help my child? Maybe they've noticed something happening with their kid at school and so forth, and so they want to help them. And the answers don't come so easily, do they, Simon?
No, it's just a hard topic to deal with all round, right? And that's actually what we see in this last paragraph. A person named Jennifer Wickham, who's a licensed professional counselor at this Mayo Clinic, says the answers are not easy. Basically, they're very complex. And she goes on to explain that that's because there's a lot of different aspects to this. She says social, biological, and environmental factors need to be considered.
Okay, so let's take a look at that, the social, biological, and environmental factors.
Well, before that, I just wanted to say I really like the way they contrast the question and answers here. So they guess all these questions and say these questions are universal, no matter where you are in the world, what family you are. If this suddenly comes to your awareness that either your child is bullying or being bullied, these are pretty universal questions. But then the answers are not universal. The answers are anything but. They're very complex, and it's going to each individual family and person in the situation is going to have to come up with a very unique answer, considering all these factors. So, for example, the social factor, who all is involved, maybe also cultural, what culture you're in and what's acceptable, what's not. Biological, I assume we're talking about, are there some, for example, clinical depression issues or other mental health issues that need to be dealt with medication?
Something natural or maybe something to do with the genetics. And then, of course, the environment that you're in. I think of the family that you're in and what's going on there. What kind of environment are you growing up in? Is that contributing to some of this?
It's interesting because you kind of hinted at that before. You said when we were talking about the last paragraph that, and I don't think you're wrong about this, but you said kids who are bullies may have been bullied themselves. And I think that that may sometimes be true, but at other times, I think one of the reasons it's such a shock to parents that their kids are bullying is that the kid really hasn't been bullied.
Yeah.
So I think there's like a lot of different reasons that kids bully. Like, so for example, maybe the kid has been bullied or they feel victimized and they've become sort of angry and are kind of out to destroy things. But I think often kids just don't do a good job of recognizing social norms, which is to say, like, things that people normally do in their interactions. Like, so for example, when you see someone, you sort of say something to make fun of someone, and there's sort of a look crosses their face that tells you, like that was a little too sensitive, right? Mm-hmm. Then a normal person will sort of recognize that and, you know, apologize and sort of, like, back down or make fun of themselves, for example, to sort of relieve the tension in the situation. But a kid that doesn't recognize that can continue going on and basically become a very aggressive bully without necessarily understanding the full effect of what they've done.
I was thinking there's also, I mean, like, again, we're going to just talk about, keep saying there's so many different factors. So we're talking about the environmental and social factors as teachers in a classroom, like what kids naturally are struggling more in lots of ways. And are there, I think we have to ask these questions about, do we set it up in a way that it's easy to bully a particular person? Is it set up in a way that someone is clearly the less, less intelligent, less behaviorally appreciated like student? And so then, I think sometimes we can even set up a situation where kids like feel like that person, their feelings are not as important. It doesn't matter as much if their feelings are hurt. Like they're just not maybe as quality of individuals as everybody else's. And so some, I think sometimes those social environmental factors also have to do with who we value as a society and in more subtle ways. But then I think children pick up on that and take it to a next level that then we say, oh, that's horrifying. But we also have to realize maybe some other social factors that they're picking up on that are not valuing some members of a group as much as others.
Right. So there's a lot involved with that. I mean, and the teacher can only do so much, but we can, as a society, can keep working on that as well.
On this counselor, Jennifer Wickham, she goes on to acknowledge that. She says it's important not to over or under recognize bullying behavior. And so when we say over recognize, we mean not to label everything bullying and say, you know, like, oh, you know, this kid was laughing at another kid because this kid must be a bully, but also not to under-recognize or ignore bullying and pretend bullying isn't happening.
All right, and here she says we need to avoid either of these extremes of labeling. Now, Pauline, you mentioned this earlier, this idea of labeling, and, you know, we can throw a label on someone. We can say this person is a bully or this person is this or that, and it's kind of like we're sticking a label on them. And so we don't see this term used in this way all the time, but in these kinds of situations, you will see it, that someone is being labeled as such and such.
Usually means we're giving them, like, a name or a definition. So, like, some others, you might label somebody as lazy, or you might label someone as, oh, what are some other ones we might label? Lazy.
A perfectionist.
Oh, you might label somebody as, like, yeah, perfectionist.
So a ne'er-do-well.
What?
It's a person who never does anything good.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for ne'er-do-well.
Oh,
yeah.
Or the more commoner version is the good-for-nothing, right? They're just not, you know. So you put these labels, and then basically the idea is that that's all you see when you see this person. You kind of, like, you don't give a lot of complex, nuanced understanding to the behaviors that are going on with this person. You're just like, oh, this is who they are. This is what I can expect from them. And then that can be very damaging.
And, Pauline, you mentioned something earlier at the top of the program that I think is important. You said we need to be careful, you know, when we label people. And why is it so important that we kind of step back and wait before we throw a label on someone?
Well, again, because I think you go past recognizing behaviors that are coming from somebody, and then you define them by those behaviors, and you see only them in terms of that, and I think that gets that's very concerning.
That is true. Well, next we're going to talk more about the difference between teasing and bullying. So join us as we have our last reading for today.
So, what's the difference? Teasing and bullying are socially unacceptable behaviors. However, According to Nancy Darling, PhD, in her article, Thinking About Kids, from Psychology Today, teasing is an ambiguous social exchange that can be friendly, neutral, or negative. And how this interchange proceeds really depends on how the person being teased reacts. Teasing never involves intentional physical harm or intimidation. Generally, it is done for the sake of fun. Occasionally, in younger children who are still learning how to regulate their emotions and respond to social interactions, teasing can go too far and result in physical behavior, says Wickham. This isn't bullying, nor is it a sign that bullying will follow. Although teasing is not socially acceptable, it's a developmental experience for children, providing opportunity for growth and development of social-emotional skills. Bullying, on the other hand, involves an imbalance of power between the individual engaging in the bullying behavior and the individual experiencing bullying behavior. As StopBullying.gov defines it, bullying behavior is harmful, purposeful, and repeated.
All right, so here we hear from Nancy Darling. She's a PhD, and she wrote this article, Thinking About Kids, and she says teasing and bullying are socially unacceptable behaviors. Do you agree with that, Simon?
I do not. Because of the teasing part, you'll notice she goes on to talk a little bit about how teasing can be friendly, neutral, or negative. And so this may be kind of a misstatement. Sometimes people have a hard time fully expressing what they want to say.
I think there's a certain kind of teasing. You know, we talked about this light kind of teasing that friends, they can tease each other. But if you're in school and someone comes up and teases you, well, you may not like that. Maybe you're not friends with them and that hurts your feelings.
Yeah, I think you have to do a little critical thinking here and realize that even as she's talking, she's kind of changing the definition of the word teasing. So when she says teasing and bullying are socially unacceptable, we believe she has a particular type of teasing in mind, even though she didn't say it, that she's talking about this more cutting teasing that is clearly hurting people. But then she goes on to say, oh, except, you know, really teasing is ambiguous. It's not clear cut. It's not straightforward. It can be a few different things. And there are ways that it can be neutral or even enjoyable, like friendly, right? It can actually add value to social interactions. It can make you feel closer to a friend.
Right.
And, you know, I think most of us can really enjoy being teased and teasing back if it's within the right context. But it does have this other side that can be very negative. And then it is, of course, I think we'd all agree, then it is socially unacceptable.
Yeah, I would say teasing actually plays a very important role in sort of kids' development in a lot of different ways. Because when you think about it, when you interact with people formally, you don't tease them, right? Like people you don't know or people you're just meeting or in a formal setting. And so teasing is one way to sort of break down those walls of formality and sort of bring people into a closer personal relationship. But the other thing with kids is it provides a way, first of all, for them to explore the boundaries of what's socially acceptable and also to sort of build up their defenses to people who are going to behave in a way that's offensive towards them, right? So it gets them sort of used to the idea of other people kind of laughing at them without necessarily meaning harm, right?
Good point.
And it also gives them a chance to watch other people's reactions to build empathy, right? Like here it says, you know, it can be friendly, neutral, and negative. And how this interchange proceeds really depends on how the person being teased reacts. So it's not even just what the person intends. Usually the idea with teasing is that you're intending for it to be fun. You're not intending it for it to be hurtful. But the other person is going to react and either show you that, they thought it was funny or whatever. Or, you know, like Simon's been saying, you'll see something that lets you know, oh, that hit in a way I didn't mean to. And learning that, especially as children, growing to like mm-hmm. understand those things, you can't learn it if you don't accidentally bump up against the going too far, recognizing it, and then pulling back, right? You have to go through that.
That's a good point, because sometimes parents, they want to protect their children from everything, but they need to experience some of this and need to know how to deal with it. Next, it talks about, you know, teasing doesn't really involve this intentional physical harm, as we've mentioned, or intimidation. That's a good word to know. If someone is trying to intimidate you, or maybe they are trying to bully you, if you're being intimidated, someone is maybe trying to threaten you or frighten you, that's really not what teasing is about. It's usually done for fun, as we've already discussed.
Yeah, and in the next paragraph, she adds something very interesting about teasing. She says, you know, especially with little kids, teasing can go too far and result in physical behavior. So even though teasing doesn't come out of this desire to physically hurt someone intentionally, sometimes it can lead to fights with kids. So if kids are fighting, it's not always an example of bullying. It could just be an example of kids having trouble regulating themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great example, right, of where labeling could be really destructive. If you see, you know, a kid who's still trying to figure out that line between play and you kind of say, we use the word rough and tumble. So if you're wrestling or doing these fun things and all of a sudden it turns into like an altercation as young children, not to label that child as a bully and suddenly have something that could follow them for a long time and start to even maybe make them believe that that's who they are, right? As opposed to saying they're just figuring out those lines between having fun, teasing, interacting physically without it going past that and really creating physical harm or emotional harm.
So that's teasing, but what about bullying? In our last paragraph today, as we come to a close of this program, we see that bullying actually involves an imbalance of power between the individual engaging in the bullying behavior and the person experiencing it. So this idea of imbalanced power, Simon, what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, the idea is just that the bully has a lot more power than the victim. And I'm not sure I always agree with that, actually. I think the bully has sort of seized the position of power, but I don't think it's always true. Like, I don't think that's a situation that can't be changed. Mm-hmm. So the bully doesn't have to be, for example, the physically bigger person.
Yeah.
Right? Who has this sort of like ability to threaten power. It just happens to be the person who's acting with the most aggression.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do think it's a power grab anyways. It's somebody showing that they think they have power over the situation, power over the other person, and can intimidate.
The website stopbullying.gov defines it this way, bullying behavior is harmful, purposeful, and repeated. And we'll talk much more about this on tomorrow's program, including different forms of bullying. So we hope you will join us for day two of our Society article. Until then, this is Brandon.
I'm Pauline.
And Simon.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.